The name of the sermon that I'm going to do today, this morning, is called Miracle Babies. Miracle Babies. You'll understand that here in a little bit, but I don't know how you would have reacted, and I'd be curious to know. I'd be curious to know how I would have reacted. But let's start with Zacharias. Here he goes into the temple, and for many priests, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So Zacharias is in the temple offering incense unto the Lord, the holy incense. He was the only one able to go in there and do this, only one person, while everyone else stood out praying. And all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias, and he said, "You and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby." Well, Zacharias, you know, he takes one look of himself. He knew what he looked like in the mirror. And I don't know anybody in here who would do the same thing, but he's like, "Man, I'm old. And then my wife, he didn't say she was old. He knew better. He said she's well stricken in years. That's a better way to say it, right? It's a little kinder, more kinder to say. And so here he was saying she's well stricken in years. And I just don't understand how this thing's going to happen. Well, he immediately forgets about Abraham and Sarah. They had Isaac when they were very old, well past their time of childbearing. And he forgets that, or at least at that moment. I can imagine being in the presence of an angel, I might would forget such things. But anyway, he said, "Well, here's how you're going to know." He said, "I'm going to keep your mouth shut for the whole 9 months." He basically made him dumb. That means unable to speak, not stupid, even though he was stupid, by saying such things to the angel. But wouldn't that be great, women, for your whole entire pregnancy, you could complain to your husband and he can't say a word? How great that would be. Just get it off your chest and tell him everything that's going wrong. You know, I feel bloated today, you know, and I don't feel like, you know, I need some pickles and something with peanut butter and, you know, and all these strange things, and he can't say a word. That was Zacharias. So how would he have reacted, you know, when his wife was pregnant? I guess he trusted in the Lord, because actually they went home and they made a child, made a baby. Well, then came along Mary. Mary was out there by herself, and the angel Gabriel once again, 6 months later, visited Mary, and he called her. He even said, "Hail Mary, highly favored among women." And she wondered at what kind of salutation is this. Here's a strange man. I don't even know who he is. And he's talking about how I'm highly favored. How's that to be? She thinks she's a commoner. And she is. She's just a common person in Nazareth. And he explains to her how the Holy Ghost. And this is something you got to think about. How would a woman react to this news? That the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Now, her reaction was a little different than Zacharias. You might think it's similar in the way she questioned him, because she said, "Well, wait a minute, how is this going to happen?" Because all she could think about was natural childbirth. That's all she could think about. She said, "Well, how's this going to happen? Because I've not known a man." And that's when he said, "Well, the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee, and you will conceive, and he will be the Son of the Most High." And her reaction to that statement, "Well, okay, let it be according to thy word, as you have said." In other words, she was totally submissive. "I don't even realize, or I don't even think, I'm not even sure." If she realized what this was going to mean about her future. See, sometimes we do things and say things and things happen to us and we don't think for a moment, what's the next day going to be like, or what's the next year going to be like? You know, we just go off and do things for the moment. And that's okay to some degree, but you do need to plan. But Mary accepted what the angel Gabriel said without giving it a thought. And that's where we pick up on the story in our scriptures. So I want to start out by reading, it's Luke chapter 1, verse 39. We're going to go verse by verse, but I'm going to read several verses at a time. All right, verse 39 says this, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. So she was in a hurry because of all the news she got, into a city of Judah. Verse 40, and she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard, now this is interesting, Elizabeth was now 6 months with child, and when she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Just by the voice of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so immediately what I want you to notice in this section of Scripture is the Holy Ghost is very active in all of this. The Holy Ghost is what overshadowed Mary, and it's how she conceived, and it's the Holy Ghost that is in the babe because he leaped in her womb. Some of you nurses, when's the earliest that a baby typically moves? 4 months, maybe? 3, 4? I don't know. Do you women remember? Four months? That's what I'm hearing. That's when you start feeling the baby kick. It's such an awesome feeling. I'll never forget that. It's such an awesome feeling to feel that baby kick. To know that there's a live person in there. I don't care what people nowadays want to call it. They want to call it a clump of cells. And then they even go so far as just simply call it a fetus. And that's all it is. And therefore, to abort one is of no consequence. I beg to differ. It's a live person. We call it a baby. It's a baby. Now, I'm even more saddened because New York, when they passed the law that after a baby is born and a mother chooses not to want the baby, they stood up and they clapped when they passed the bill that you can now make a baby comfortable and let it die after it's been born. We call that murder. And I stick to my guns on that. I know this is not going to be popular preaching, but if I don't preach the whole counsel of the word, I will be held accountable. God will hold me accountable. So Mary was 3 months with child. Elizabeth was 6 months. So already the kicking had done started. Well, now the baby's leaping in her womb. I don't know what that must have felt, but I'd say he was turning somersaults when he heard the voice of Mary. Why would that make a difference when he heard the voice of Mary? Well, he knew, even as a babe, he knew that Mary was carrying the Son of God. And so, all of a sudden, in verse 42, now keep in mind, Elizabeth doesn't know about this visit from Gabriel to Mary. She doesn't know about it. As far as I know, she doesn't know about it. I don't think Mary had a chance to tell her. That's why she went into another hill country with haste to another area called Judah. So verse 42 says this, and this is Elizabeth speaking. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 43, and whence is this to me? In other words, why are you coming to me? That the mother of my Lord. Notice what the Holy Ghost is revealing to Elizabeth. That the mother of my Lord. The Lord is a baby. Right now he's an embryo. 3 months old. In her womb. Verse 44. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. I may not have finished that verse. But verse 44 and says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe in my womb, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Even the baby heard it. People think, even at 6 months old, I think babies can hear. You know, sometimes, and I believe it too, I think you should, that when you or having a baby and you're really getting out there and you're showing, look like a tick about to pop, you know, and talk to your baby. I think he, she hears your voice. And if you say kind things and godly things, I think it influences that child. I really do. Because by the same token, I think if you are argumentative and hateful, evil, I think that too influences that child. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that if and when you know someone who is with child, and like I said, they're getting out there pretty large, that when they talk, the baby's listening. And so he heard what Mary had said. Verse 44. So verse 45, and this is the part I want you to see, because at the conclusion of what Elizabeth said, I highlighted a few things up there on verse 45. And blessed is she that believed. How did Elizabeth know this? Blessed is she that believed. The Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost is in all this. He's in all this, and he revealed this to her. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Through angel Gabriel, the Lord told her some things. And she's saying that the Lord has told her, and when the Lord says it, you can count on it. As you read your scripture, if the Lord said it, you can count on it. So I'm thankful. And the song that I just sang is referred to as the Magnificat. This is the part that Mary begins to speak. And so, by revelation, Elizabeth knew that Mary had believed God. And so Mary now is replying back to what Elizabeth had just said. And so verse 46 says this, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. How do you magnify the Lord? You just make him bigger. You talk about him. How big God is. How great God is, and my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse 48, and he regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Or blessed. You see, God loves to use the low and the humble, okay? The humble. If you've ever worked with people who think they know everything and think they are right in everything, how difficult it is for God to work with those people. Those are the people who think they've got it all straightened out. And they know it all, and they don't need God to tell them what to do. So God uses the low and the humble. So keep that in mind. If you raise yourself, if you exalt yourself, you're doing exactly the opposite of what Mary did. And so God exalted her to a point to where he said, all generations shall call me blessed. So Mary humbled herself to God as sovereign, which we do. Surrender is probably one of the hardest things we can do. And I don't know if it's this way with women, but men especially. I can speak from a man's point of view. When a problem hits, what does a man want to do? We fix it, right? We want to fix the problem. Sometimes it's out of our control, but we work and we think and we struggle because we want to fix the problem. Why? Because we're men. We feel like it's our duty to fix the problem. But sometimes God will allow these problems to show you who really is the one who is sovereign. God is sovereign. And I've had to come to a place many times, and I'm still learning how to do this, many times to where I finally have to give up. And I simply say, Lord, I have no idea. I don't have a clue. what to do. Please show me. Please help me. And you know what? He does. How strange is that? God does what he says he's going to do. If I'd only let him do that from the beginning, I'd probably be okay. But again, it's not in my nature as a man. I want to fix it right then and right there. Deronda married Mr. Right, Mr. Always Right. And I want to do these things and show her that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish. But there's days when I can't and I don't have that ability. So we have to humble ourselves before our sovereign Lord. And if we do that, we will then be, like the scripture says, meet, or that's the old King James word for suitable. We would be ready for the master's use. We're not ready unless we're humble. Unless we're humble and unless we're willing to let God lead the show and not us. Lord, forgive me and Lord, help me if I ever make this position a power play, because it's not what it is. I am a shepherd only. I'm a servant of God. And it is God who is in charge. You're a congregation in front of me just for, you know, some minutes, okay? But ultimately, it's God that is in charge over you. And I will be held accountable, yes, for the things I teach and the things I preach. Jesus also was a teacher. He was also a preacher. And he taught the truth. And I have to preach what the Word says. And I will do my best, and with best understanding as I know, is teach what the Word says. Not only do I want to make my senior pastor proud of me, I want to make you guys proud of me. But most of all, I want to please God. That is my desire. I love all of you, but you're second when it comes to God. I want to preach like God would have me to preach. And so I want to submit to him as best and often as I can and let him lift me up and let it, you know, or move me out. However he wants to do, it's all God, not me. So verse 49, and you might have heard this in the song, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." His name is so holy. Just to call on him is a great thing. Oh, I hate it when I hear God's name being taken in vain. My bones shudder now. Oh, I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I heard it often. Didn't seem to bother me now, but now the Holy Spirit in me, he makes me sensitive to these kinds of things. And it just makes me shudder when I hear somebody yell out God's name in vain. Because his name is sacred. The Bible says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That means it's sacred. When we say his name, it's to be hallowed. We don't say it in a useless and vain manner. That's taking his name in vain, in a useless manner. We don't go around saying, "Oh my God." And I'm not saying it in the sense that a lot of people do, and when they're really not calling on God. When we call on God and we say, "Oh my God," we better be talking to God. You know, it actually has been a challenge, because our children, as they grow up in school, they listen and they hear all these phrases, and that's one of them. "Oh my God," and we teach them to say, "Don't do that. Unless you're calling on God for his help or for his mercy or for something, don't use his name that way. That's vain." And we teach them to say, "Oh my goodness." I don't even like to use "oh my gosh," but I say, "Oh my goodness," or other things they'll say, and we try to teach them. But they don't understand, not always, but I think it's beginning to take hold. So we don't take his name in vain. His name is holy. Remember that. Verse 50. And this is something that we need to take into account. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Oh, thank God for his mercy. For without it, I'd be lost and undone without God. I'd have no way to heaven. I've had no way to the Father. But now I do through Jesus Christ. So he had, verse 51, he had showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Verse 52, and he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Here we go again. People who exalt themselves, he puts them down. But people who are of low degree, who humble themselves to God, he raises them up. He exalts them. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Verse 54 uses an old King James word, an old King James English. He said, he hath hopen, which means he helped. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. God is remembering his own mercy toward Israel, and he's sending them a Messiah, someone who's going to be their king. Now, right now, he was the suffering Messiah. He was the Messiah to come who would suffer and die on the cross for their sins. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it because how can you kill the Son of God? He's God. How can you do that? So they couldn't see it. But yet, God had this plan all along. That's why I call them miracle babies. Miracles because Zacharias was well past, and his wife Elizabeth was well past childbearing age, and yet they had a child. And then Mary had a child without having a husband. And so verse 55 says, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And finally, I'm going to close with this verse here, verse 56, and Mary abode with her 3 months, which would have put, think of the timeline, girls, would have put Elizabeth at 9 months, Mary at 3 months with child. So Mary abode with her about 3 months, and then she returned to her own house. I just have a few things to say, and then we'll close. So Elizabeth was now 9 months with child. I'm not sure, and I'm not even convinced that Mary actually saw the birth of John the who we now know as John the Baptist. But that's who she gave birth to, was John. And he was going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied to Zacharias that when he was born, that there would be great joy. And there was. Oh, isn't it wonderful how we celebrate when a child is born? A child is born and we're just so excited to hold the baby, to touch the baby, to just be near the baby sometimes until they start crying and then we give them back. That's typically the way us guys do. They start crying and we give them back. Okay, here, mother, do something with it. We don't know what to do at this point. And that's us. That's how we behave. But to think how such a miracle as John the Baptist was to two very old people who's going to be the forerunner of the Savior. So it would have been as similar to Sarah and Abraham having Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise. Abraham and Sarah, of course, laughed. And Abraham just couldn't believe it himself. He said, I'm as good as dead. I'm old. He was like 100 or 90 at that time. I'm not sure which. But he was old. To himself, he said that. But the person I feel sorry for the most, even though Elizabeth had a child and there was great celebration and great, wonderful cause to celebrate among the people, among her people, her family, and all her neighbors, Mary had to go back home. She was espoused to Joseph. So men, how would you react if your fiance came home 3 months later and she started showing? How would you react? First question out of your mouth would be, whose is it? And then she says, it's God's. God gave me this baby. How would you react? I don't know if I could believe it. I just don't know it. I didn't see Gabriel. She's telling me about Gabriel. She's telling me about what Gabriel said. I'm like, that sounds like a fantasy to me. You're just making this up just to get out of it, you know? That's sort of how it comes across, don't it? That's how men think. Don't think you don't think this way. You do. But Joseph, God bless him. God chose well, didn't he? Joseph was a just man. A just man. So she was 3 months with child, and she's showing. And it's devastating to go back home, and now your fiancé sees you in this condition. For Mary's part, there would be extreme shame and humiliation. Nowadays, we don't seem to have that, but for her, it was. It was extreme shame and humiliation, and sure enough, I'm convinced, a small town as Nazareth, she was the gossip of the town. Who do you think it was? You think it was John over there, or, you know, whoever, Nathaniel on that side? You know, they're all trying to figure it out themselves. Who could she have been with before she left? You know, because she was pregnant before she left. And so all the women are probably trying to figure it out, and all the men are probably trying to talk Joseph into doing what's right, which would have been to stone her. Can you believe that? Stone her, kill her, throw rocks until she's dead. Because back then, you got engaged. It's not like today. You don't just break up. No, you had to actually have a writing of divorce. And Joseph didn't want to kill her. He was a just man. As much as it probably broke his heart, he didn't want to kill Mary. I'm sure he still loved her in many ways. He still loved her. He didn't want to kill the woman he loved. My goodness, what kind of man would that have been? So Joseph just simply wanted to put her away. Privately, he said. Privately. No big show. Hey, look here, y'all, I'm divorcing Mary. Just so you know, I'm not having anything to do with Mary. No, it's not what he did. He wanted to put it away privately. Not bring any more shame than what was already on her. It's funny, I always think of Joseph as the odd man out, because the angel Gabriel visited Zacharias in person. The angel visited Mary in person. The angel visited Joseph in a dream. In a dream. Not in person. Because I'm sure Joseph was thinking about these things. What should I do? How should I go about this? How do I handle this situation? And he's struggling, probably in his heart, because he's just so heartbroken. It does break your heart. And so he wanted to do it privately, and the angel in the dream told her, says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of God. And you know what? He believed him. He believed him and married Mary. Boy, that would be the talk of the town, wouldn't it? For the next 6 months, that would be the talk of the town. If you ever watch the movie, The Nativity, when they were being called back because of the census, they were being called back to Bethlehem because that's where his clan was from. He had to go back and be, they took a census of whoever, all the people. Caesar Augustus had called this. And in the movie, Joseph had said, you know what? I'm going to miss all those looks. All those people who were looking at him with derision and shame and hate because Mary had did this thing and Joseph had married her anyway. They couldn't understand. So when her baby was born, it was also a miracle. It was a miracle by the way she was conceived and a miracle by the way he was born. It wasn't with joy and fanfare like it was with Elizabeth. She didn't have anybody around, really. Just the animals in the stable. And she gave birth. I don't even know if Joseph knew what to do. I wouldn't have known what to do. But they had the baby, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and put him in a manger. And I saw Somebody posts a meme that says the first king-size bed was a manger. How about that? The first king-size bed was a manger. So God had chose old people to have a child as a forerunner to Christ. And Mary was totally submissive to God, not knowing everything that she would have to endure. The shame and the humiliation, and maybe even the disappointment from Joseph himself. If anybody wants prayer, I'll be so glad to pray for you, but I want you to consider this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is the day. Don't wait. If you have a need of any sort, we'll all be glad to pray for you. Heavenly Father, as we close this sermon, I pray, Lord, that you will bless each and every person here. And Lord, I pray that the words will go forth and that they will take it home with them and dwell on them. And Lord, think about these miracle babies that eventually became John the Baptist and Christ, our Savior of the world. And Lord, I pray that people will consider Christ and consider being submissive to Christ and give their hearts and lives to Him and live totally for Christ. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.